Acts 7:49. Heaven is my throne, and earth is a footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Acts 7:49. Heaven is my throne, and earth is a footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Acts 7:49. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. We're dealing with the subject of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Over these past sessions, and now we are studying the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Some very interesting studies we have for us now and in the coming days. The reason why we have three different passages of Scripture is we have three messages, all dealing with the subject of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We'll be looking at all three of these verses each time, but primarily we'll be dealing with 1 Corinthians 3:16, the first session today, 1 Corinthians 6:19, the second session today, and 1 Corinthians 6:20 on Wednesday night. So I just wanted you to have time to look this over and write these verses down, please. We spend a moment in prayer now, right before we begin our scripture reading. May we pray together, please. Again, Father, we are grateful for the completed canon of Scripture. We're thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful that we live in this magnificent time. Out of all the many times of history, we realize how blessed we are to be alive at this particular time. We're living in the age of grace, the church age, the intercalated period of time between Pentecost on the one hand and the rapture on the other hand. We do not know just exactly when that rapture will occur. We're aware of the fact that there's not anything preventing that to take place at any moment of time. And we're thankful today that even that could happen before we leave this session today. And we're thankful indeed for the fact that we're members of your family, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home, not based upon our goodness, but based upon your matchless grace. We pray that in these moments, these will be precious moments for us, that we will turn our attention away from all of the other things of life and focus our minds upon your purpose for our individual lives in the light of our relationship to Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Let me look at it with you again. Do you not know that you, born again believer, you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Or do you not know, verse 19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own, for you have been bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body. Magnificent verses of Scripture. I trust that as we go over these verses time and time again, it will make a tremendous impression upon your life. We deal with the subject, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is a magnificent subject, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have in your bulletin today several inserts. One of them I would like for you to take and look at this particular point of time. It's called the Biblical Timeline. I realize that many times people cannot see clearly what's on the screen. But you can see very clearly the insert in your bulletin today. It doesn't look just exactly like the one I have on the screen, but we're going to be looking at this one for just a few moments, and then we're going to look at the one that you have in hand. I trust that you will take this into your hand and hold it while I speak today for a few moments. We have the eternal ages past. We have the eternal ages future. We look at the biblical timeline and we see the age of the Gentiles, a dispensation. The age of Israel. We see that Jesus Christ came on the scene in the age of Israel. Jesus was born in the age of Israel. Jesus lived and died in the age of Israel. So you can see that we have here a cross in the age of Israel. You'll see then that there is an inserted time. It is called the intercalated period, which simply means that in this timeline, there is now inserted, interrupting the age of Israel, a time that's known as the age of grace. This is the church age. We'll come back and talk about that in a few moments. On this particular diagram, you'll see that following the age of grace, there's the rapture. And then we have it enlarged on this particular diagram. We have an emphasis upon the 7 years of tribulation. Normally, as you will see, they do not take that much of the diagram picture. But it's here for the specific purpose of letting you see that when we dealt with the tribulation, we enlarged this diagram so that you'll be able to see that immediately after the rapture, there will be the continuation and consummation of the age of Israel. 7 years, 3.5 years, and then 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years are referred to as the Great Tribulation. At the beginning of the time, there will be 144,000 Jews converted, and they will become the evangelists during the time of those 7 years. There are basically four waves, great waves of evangelism during the time of the tribulation. We've talked about that in the past. During the time that the tribulation is going on the earth, you and I, because we left this earth by way of the rapture, we will have the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage of the Lamb. We could talk about all of these at length, but we cannot do that to save time today. At the close of the tribulation, there's the battle of Armageddon, and then there is the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the time of the second advent, we discover that there will be the beginning of the millennium. Most of you have heard this. There are 75 days at the beginning of this 1,000 years, 75 days presented in the Scripture. Many times people have never heard about that. Then there's the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the close of the 1,000-year reign, there's the Gog Magog revolution, the great white throne judgment. Now, on the screen, you have the same diagram that you have in hand. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to look very carefully at this particular diagram. You will see at the presentation of the age of Israel, there is what is known as the hypostatic union. Look, if you will, please, carefully at this, and you'll see that this takes place approximately 4 BC to 30 AD. a beautiful time when we see the emphasis upon the hypostatic union. The word hypostatic simply means, it's a word from the Greek language, hypostasis, which means to stand under. We have deity to the Lord Jesus Christ leaving heaven's glory, coming down on the earth and being on the earth during this period of time. We will not spend any more time there other than to tell you that there will then be, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ascension, the session of Jesus Christ, there will be the beginning of the church age, and that's from Pentecost and all the way over to the time of the rapture. I please want you to understand that my desire for this magnificent congregation is for you to follow me day by day, week by week, studying the Word of God so that we will be blessed by the ability to utilize the things which we learn from the magnificent Word of God. What you see on your diagram now, you'll see what is known as the pre-canon and the post-canon period. We could spend a lot of time here, but let me just simply say that if you studied the pre-canon period, that simply means the time of the writings of the various authors of the New Testament between 45 A.D. and 96 A.D. That is what is known as the pre-canon period. When you get to 96 A.D. with the writings of John in the Gospel of John, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John in the book of Revelation, you'll come to the close of the writings of the New Testament with 96 A.D., and that is what is known as the pre-canon period of time. From 96 A.D. on until where we are today is known as the post-canon period of time. So I just want you to be able to see that as we are studying in the next few sessions, we'll be looking at pre-canon spiritual gifts, and we'll be looking at post-canon spiritual gifts. I trust you're hearing every word I'm saying, because it's very important to be able to see that when we get into the study of the pre-canon spiritual gifts and the post-canon spiritual gifts, it'll clear up a lot of things for people who are so confused in our day in relationship to the various spiritual gifts. For instance, the gift of tongues, the gift of healing, various gifts like that. We'll study that. We'll be able to see what we have as far as pre-canon spiritual gifts and post-canon spiritual gifts. On the screen and in your hand, you're holding a picture, a diagram of a biblical timeline. This is known as the dispensations. Now, what I want you to be able to see, and I'm going to give you some definitions now. First of all, we're going to see the definitions in relationship to dispensations. And then in a few moments, we're going to look at definition in relationship to civilization. So I want you to see two things before we get into our particular study on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We've been looking at a timeline. You're holding in hand a timeline. What do we mean when we say dispensations? Okay, number one, dispensation simply means a period of human history in terms of divine revelation. I go slowly here for you to be able to see and comprehend what is being presented. A dispensation is a period of human history in terms of divine revelation. You and I want to see from God's vantage point. We want to see from a vertical viewpoint. We want to see as God sees. And we're not going to see as God sees if we're not able to study God's Word, understand God's Word, have an understanding of the dispensations and civilizations, and be able to utilize those things which we're learning. We've been looking at this on and off for many years. I want to come to a point where I'm saying to all of you, and I'm especially at my particular point of time in my life, I'm very concerned about the young adults of our church. Some of you are aware of the fact that in recent days, emails have gone out to our young adults. There's a reason for that. We've counted, we've had the secretary to analyze, look over our church fellowship, and we've taken a look at some of you in specific detail. So I just wanted you to know why you got a little email from us. We're concerned about the fact that young people of our day will be the leaders of tomorrow. And I don't want to live and die without having the proper influence and the proper attitude and the proper ministry to the young adults of our church. And for that reason, we are beginning some things right now. And you are going to be hearing from us if you fit in the category of a young adult. Believe it or not, we have one deacon in our church, and he doesn't even know I'm going to say this, that I put him in the category of young adults. And that is Kellner. Not Milton, but Martin. Where is Martin? Oh, there he is right there. So I put Martin in the category of young adults. And we're going to use him and Julie to help us make a connection between our young adults and the deacons. And so we're going to talk to the deacons about this today. And some of them have been asking, what is a reason for you calling a special deacons meeting? Well, the reason is because of what I'm just now talking to you about. They're not going to go to the meeting unknowing. They're going to be aware of the fact that we're working and trying to pray and ask the Lord to help us, to guide us in what steps we should take for this to be done properly. We're living in the dispensation of grace, a period of human history in terms of divine revelation. Number two, divine categories of human history are the divine outline of history. We're talking about the definition for dispensations. Number three, God's interpretation of history as well as a divine plan for mankind related to our time while we're here on the earth. Now, number three is so big in so many words, I had to summarize it and put it down where you can see it. The meaning of dispensations, definition, 1, 2, 3, it's God's interpretation of history so that we can see from a divine plan. What I'm beginning to see is that God has blessed us as a church family with young adults. These young adults will be our leaders for tomorrow, when I'm gone to heaven, when Joyce and I are away from here. These individuals have the responsibility of advancing and growing up now so that they can be properly placed in position of leadership for the future. Are you listening to me? Do you see what is in my heart and in my mind? God's interpretation, dispensations of history, as well as a divine plan for every individual related to while we're here on this earth. You and I have been placed on this earth at this particular time for a specific reason and purpose. There's no accident that you and I are here. We're here because God wants us to be here. And so when we look at dispensations, we're having to see what God's Word says about the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the church age, the millennium. We want to get an understanding of what the Word of God says about this in the light of our responsibility individually. And I'm talking about every person in this auditorium, every person related to our church family. Dispensations means God's interpretation of history, as well as a divine plan for each one of us as long as God lets us live on this earth. And I had so much more to say here, so I abbreviated it. Understanding God's timing. You and I are here, not by accident. You and I are here at this particular time because God wants us here. Whatever your age is. By the way, I just found out that, I'm aware of the fact that one of our deacons has a birthday today. And his wife had a birthday last Wednesday. Anyway, I won't talk about that anymore. These deacons are getting older. And so it's time for us to think in terms of how God wants young men to take over and do things, understanding God's timing. But notice also understanding God's purpose. If I should come and sit by you and I should say, would you give me the four dispensations, what would you say? Okay, what if I said to you, would you name for me the four civilizations? You'd say, whoo, what are you saying, preacher? Well, for that reason, I feel like it's necessary for me now to let you see that we need to study more than about the dispensations. We need to learn about civilizations. What is a civilization? A civilization is defined as the starting over of the human race. Think about this with me. We won't spend much time here because we're going to get into our study on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But a civilization is defined as a starting over of the human race. A civilization begins with believers only. A civilization ends with divine judgment, which destroys the entire population of the world except for believers. Now let's spend a few moments looking at this. A civilization is defined as the starting over of the human race. A civilization begins with believers only. A civilization ends with divine judgment, which destroys the entire population of the world, except for believers. If you've copied this down, fine. If you've memorized it, fine. A civilization is defined as the starting over of the human race. A civilization begins with believers. You'll see this more clearly in a moment. A civilization ends with divine judgment, which destroys the entire population of the world, except for believers. When I put this next diagram or page on the screen, it's going to begin to make complete sense to us. Four civilizations. The antediluvian civilization, the post-diluvian civilization, the millennial civilization, and the eternal civilization. I'm giving you time to copy this. It's very, very important. Most of us understand that the words antediluvian means before the flood. Antediluvian, before, deluge, flood. Post-diluvian means after, post, after, deluge, flood. So far, we've looked at two civilizations. Most of us are aware of the fact of the antediluvian civilization and the flood that occurred. Most of us have this in mind. I don't think you have any problems with that. Antediluvian civilization means before the deluge, ante, before, deluge, before the flood. Post, after the deluge, after the flood. Antediluvian, post-diluvian. Millennial civilization and eternal civilization. We'll come back one of these days to give a lot of detail, but I want you to see it. If you'll go back to our diagram, which you were holding in hand, I want you to see there that there's an emphasis of where you and I now live. We're living between Pentecost on the one hand and the rapture on the other hand. There's not anything in the Word of God that would prevent the Lord Jesus Christ from coming to receive His own unto Himself at any moment. Everything that has been predicted about the rapture, you and I have to understand that there's not anything that would prevent Jesus Christ from coming to receive us unto himself at any moment. So the rapture could occur any time in the future. It could come today. It could come 1,000 years from now. We do not know. There's no way for us to know. But we understand that the rapture will occur one of these days. We also understand that while we're here in this church age, God has a purpose for us. And we have to understand some things about our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll notice, when you go back to our scripture for this morning, and I'm going to put it on the screen for you now to see. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. This is a powerful verse, and this is our verse for this first session. Look at it, if you will. It's in your bulletin. If you can't see it clearly from where you're sitting, then look at your bulletin. You can see it. Do you not know? This is to each one of us in this auditorium. Do you not know that you are a shrine, a temple, a beautiful receptacle of God? Pause with me for a few moments and let's look at this. Over the years, we've talked about the negative adverbs. Most of you right now are saying, yes, I understand. There's a strong negative adverb, ooh, ook, ook. And then there's a negative adverb that's not as strong, may. You've heard this, so this is not new to you. But it's important for me right now to tell you that the first word, not, in this verse of Scripture, you see it on your bulletin, you see it on the screen, is O-U-K, a strong negative adverb in the Word of God. It's not accidental. It's on purpose. It says, do you not know? This is to you and me individually, personally. Do you not know? How can I be stronger than I am? How can I be stronger with words to let you know that this is saying something for you individually and me individually? Do you not know? Do you not understand? Are you not aware of the fact that you're here on this earth right now because God says, I have a reason for you being here? Isn't that something? Boy, that just shocks me when I realize that God put me on the earth X number of years ago. He's still allowing me to be alive, and I'm thankful that he's allowed me to be alive to this very present moment. I don't know how much longer, but I do know that he has a plan and a purpose, and he's going to let me live until that plan and purpose has been consummated, and then he'll take me, as will with you, he'll take us home. Do you not know? Is it okay with you for me to talk about the Greek a little bit? Okay, thank you for your permission. Do you not know? Here's the word know. What is the word? Oide. How is the word used? Oh my. This word is so powerful here. Do you not know? Know is oide. O-I-D-A. Well, if you say, I don't know that much about oide, okay, let me tell you a little bit about it. The word know now is used as a perfect tense, which means, did you not know something in the past? If you learned something in the past and you knew it, you still know it. It continues to this very present moment. That's the meaning of that word, oide. The active voice says, you. That's an individual, every individual here. Do you not know? The I stands for the indicative mood, which is a mood of reality. Is it not real to you? Do you not know? Do you not understand? You should and I should know that we're here on the earth and we are an individual shrine, an individual temple of God. Is that shocking to you? Does that make sense? Does that ring a bell with you? You and I are individual receptacles of God. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling Christ. We have been baptized by the Spirit in that God put us into His family, the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. God has sealed us. When we're in fellowship, we have the filling of the Holy Spirit. When we get out of fellowship, we have ourselves outside of the plan of God's divine system for us. All of this making sense, isn't it? Do you not know that you are a temple, a shrine of God, and the Spirit of God in you dwells? Another verb. This verb is oikeo. In the Greek, the word oikos is the word for house. Beautiful word. And so when you see this, you see the Holy Spirit housing down in us as a believer. That's the reason why the words are so beautiful. The indwelling Christ, the indwelling Holy Spirit, dwelling down, housing down in your life and mine. When you leave this service today, after the second service, I don't want you to ever forget that you as a person walking along here in your body, body, soul, and spirit, soul and spirit walking along in the body, you are a temple, a shrine of God. You know what? I haven't gotten to my points yet. But I'm having fun. Would y'all let me have some more fun? You and I live in a magnificent time. We've already said that this is the age of grace, the church age. This age has what I would classify as some distinctive things. Let me look at it with you. One of the distinctive factors is that we're in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. I made up my mind that I don't want to go so fast that I don't teach properly. And so for that reason, I've set up 3 sessions for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We'll be talking about it in a few moments, but I want you to see this first. If you'll remember the church age, you'll look at your diagram that you have there in your bulletin. We're living in this magnificent and wonderful time between Pentecost and the rapture. And number one, we're in union with Jesus Christ. That's the meaning of the verse I've just given you. We have, number two, the universal indwelling of Christ. I don't want to be confusing to you, but I want you to see that if I drew a circle and put a chair in there, and I call that a throne, and here you are as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have allowed Jesus Christ to be on the throne of your life. And you come along and say, you know what? I'm not sure I want Him to be ruling and directing my life. And so you take Him off the throne. Doesn't mean you take Him out of your life as far as salvation is concerned. But you have now removed Him from rulership, direction. And we say, you've had the indwelling Christ there. Now you have removed the indwelling Christ and you put yourself upon the throne. If you're following that picture, you're seeing the other diagram that you have in your bulletin today. And that is God's divine power sphere. You can look at it for a few moments and let's just quickly go away from it, but let's see. If you're living inside of that power sphere, all of these steps around that power sphere, from 1 all the way through 8, you're involved and those things are active and functioning within your life. You're inside that divine power sphere. You're in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're cleansed of sin. You're filled with the Spirit. You're in fellowship. What is sad is that so many churches today are not teaching the importance of the filling of the Holy Spirit, being in fellowship. And when they get out of fellowship, they're not aware of it. And so they're frustrated, and their life is a life of confusion and chaos. That's sad. You and I, inside this divine power sphere, we're living joyfully and triumphantly. And then here comes sin, Satan. Temptation comes. Have you heard this before? We look over there, and that temptation is alluring, enticing. We decide whether we're going to yield to that temptation or not. If we choose not to yield to that temptation, we remain in harmony, in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a believer in fellowship. We look at that enticing, alluring temptation, and we make a decision. And we've made a bad decision now. We make a decision to accept that temptation. When we make a decision to accept that temptation, you need to listen to me now. You make a temptation comes in. The temptation itself is not the sin. But when you make, or I make a decision to accept that temptation, then we're not out of fellowship. Not out of God's plan of salvation. Out of fellowship. That's the reason when you look at this big circle that you have there in your bulletin, the very first emphasis is on the filling of the Holy Spirit, restoration to fellowship. We have, number two, the universal indwelling of Christ. Number three, we have the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit in this church age. All of these points are very, very important. Did you get the first two? Union with Christ at salvation. That's the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's when God the Holy Spirit places you and me into His family. We have the universal indwelling of Christ. Number three, the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This number four is so powerful. We are now individual priests. The veil of the temple has been rent from top to bottom. We have access to the throne of grace. We do not have to go through a minister. We do not have to go through a priest to get to God. God says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we have the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But we also, number four, have the universal priesthood of the believer. Each one of us is an individual priest. Number five, we have the completed canon of Scripture. All of us know that. We are living in a fantastic time. We have fellowship with our neighbors. They love to talk about God's Word, and we love to talk about God's Word. And so last night, in a little fellowship meeting, I was able to point out some things. That I just love for them to come over because I love to preach to them. And I have to be careful that I don't do it too much. You see what I mean? Because I just want to talk about it. I want people to see it. And so I got a bunch of things printed for them last night. And so when they came over, we sat down at the table to play 42. Oh, that's a wonderful game. Are you familiar with 42? Anyway, man, what I wanted to do was to talk about this. I didn't want to play 42, but we did. And I didn't want to spend too much time. You know, here I am coming to see the preacher. And what's he want to do? He wants to preach to me all while I'm here, and I'm here to play 42. No, they're sweet people. They let me preach a little bit. But I pointed out something. I printed out, just listen to this. I printed out when the New Testament books were written, when the Holy Spirit of God led the writers of the New Testament. And started out with James in 45 A.D. and went all the way down through, all the way to the book of Revelation. And I just showed them real fast and then gave it to them before they could take it home. They could see the writings between 45 A.D. and 96 A.D. Are you listening now? Are you able to see that I'm saying 96 A.D.? Did I say earlier today that God used the preacher John to write the Gospel of John, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Revelation? Ended in 96 A.D. That's the period known as the pre-canon period. Canon means the Bible. So it was before the completion of the canon of Scripture. After 96 A.D., we have what is known as post-canon period of the Age of Grace. What is so amazing to me is that many people have not studied this, and they do not comprehend the difference between pre-canon spiritual gifts and post-canon spiritual gifts. And what they do is they take pre-canon spiritual gifts and try to push them over here into the post-canon period. Does that make sense? 4 more minutes. You just think didn't know what time it was. Universal indwelling, universal priesthood of the believer. Number 5, we have the completed canon of Scripture. Number 6, in this age, we've come to the conclusion that it is impossible to live the Christian life. It's a human impossibility to live the Christian life. It has to be a supernatural life. Does that make sense to you? In other words, you and I cannot live the Christian life. Within our own strength, within our own power, there's no way we can do it. So we are not to depend upon ourselves to do it. We have a supernatural way of life. And it's living inside this divine power sphere. It's living properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ in harmony and fellowship, filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is not something odd, unusual, strange, or make you act silly. It's normal. It is what God wants for all believers to know and understand the importance of the cleansing of sin and the filling of the Holy Spirit, where Jesus Christ is the ruler, master, controller of our lives. Makes all the difference in the world. And the last one, every believer is an ambassador for Christ. Now, I plan to start, and I have just a few minutes to let you begin to see where we're going. 3 minutes. Indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That will be our subject for the second session and next Wednesday night. Primarily what I want you to do in these closing minutes is just to get a definition. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, number one, indwells the body of the church age believer at the moment of salvation. Please notice how powerful this is. It goes back to our verse of Scripture, which we're going to go back and look at here. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Look at that, and then look at my first point. Do you not know? We've got to know this. Do you not know that you, individually, personally, are a shrine, a temple of God? In other words, God lives in you and me, and the Spirit of God dwells in us. Definition for indwelling. The Holy Spirit indwells the body of the church age believer, and that began at the moment you were saved, at the point of salvation. All three of these passages, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, 1 Corinthians 6:3, 16, all three of these passages present that truth. The Holy Spirit indwells the body of the church age believer at the moment you were saved. My question is, do you know you're saved? Number 2, the indwelling of the Spirit is one of 6 permanent ministries of the Holy Spirit at salvation. We're not going to talk about this right now. We'll do it later. But put the two together. Number 1, the Holy Spirit indwells the body of the church age believer. That's you and me. At the very moment we were saved. And the indwelling of the Spirit is one of 6 permanent ministries of the Holy Spirit. Let me close with telling you that there's one ministry of the Holy Spirit that is not permanent, and that's the filling of the Holy Spirit. All these others are permanent. They're there to stay. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is temporary. If we are choosing to sin and get our lives out of fellowship with God, the thing that is not permanent is the filling. All the others are permanent. It's important to see that. What do we do when we get out of fellowship? We understand we better get back soon. Keep short, little short times with being out of fellowship. If you find yourself off the track, out of fellowship, don't continue that way. Don't begin doing what we call grape sinning. Just take one grape and then another grape, another grape, one sin. Because if you'll notice, if you haven't already noticed this, if you will notice when you disobey God in sin, if you're not careful, you're going to be able to see, won't be a few minutes or a few seconds, you're going to be sinning again in another direction. If a person becomes angry, what normally happens is that they get out of fellowship by being angry, and then almost immediately the anger is manifested in other ways, and the person just begins chain sinning. And when that happens to you and me, we ought to realize, what have I done? I'm out of fellowship. I've just noticed that my being out of fellowship has caused me to do another sin and another sin. What am I going to do about this? I've got to stop and get myself back in right relationship with Jesus Christ. May we pray together, please. We have a minute now that we will pray together. The question that I have for all of us here is, are we being able to see God's plan for us as an individual? That we are individual shrines, we're individual temples. We have the responsibility to live our lives as unto God. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, your greatest need is to trust Him and love Him and obey Him. I'm saying to all of who hear my voice today, salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It was Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. The way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Father, we thank you for your matchless grace. In Jesus' name, amen.